Good morning. Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for this opportunity to share. I'm Tia Dorsey, and thank God for Pastor James for allowing me to share today. Our scripture will be coming from Psalms 91, and I know this may be a psalm some have read or heard about, but I'd like to share it. This actually is one that I religiously read, no pun intended, daily. Amen. And it just helps keep my mind in the right mode. So Psalms 91. If you Google the word love, you'll find two meanings. One is an intense feeling of deep affection.
An intense feeling of deep affection.
And that's the one that the world associates with love.
Mm-hmm.
The other is a great interest and pleasure in something. Okay, so one is a deep affection and the other one is a great interest and pleasure in something. Mm-hmm. The title of our reading or our topic today is When God Knows That You Love Him. So when God knows that you love him. So we're going to reference Psalms 91, but if you go back to Psalms 90 talks about God's anger, and it's a prayer of mercy and a prayer of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And many people believe that, you know, God is a God of peace and love and harmony, but if we're made in God's own image, Amen. You know, we have multiple facets within us, and so does God. He is a God of love, thank Amen. God. He is a God of mercy. But he also is a consumer fire and a God of anger when the occasion needs to happen. Okay?
Amen.
So Psalms 91 is a psalm of assurance. So 90 is a psalm of, you know, mercy, prayer for mercy and hope and deliverance. And Psalms 91 is a prayer of assurance and security.
Amen.
Okay, knowing what God can do.
Amen.
So I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to note a few verses in it that speak to what we're going to talk about today.
All right.
Psalms 91, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
Amen.
You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. That's going to be our key scripture today. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. When God knows you
Amen.
Love him.
Mm.
So Psalms 91 talks about he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, someone who inhabits in God's presence. And I don't know about you, but I inhabit a home. So if you come in my home, you see personal things, remnants that say I live here. You may see a jacket, you know, that isn't hung up. You may see a picture of me. You may see my slippers around. You see signs that I live there.
Amen.
Okay, and so should it be if we really inhabit a place in God. There should be signs in our walk that he lives in us and we live in him. Amen. It should not be a vacant bed and breakfast B&B where Amen. It's not a hotel room, where it's nothing personal to say that you live there.
Mercy.
So this psalm speaks to Mercy. Those who have found a place in God. So let's look at verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now, I know in today's mindset, a fowler's snare, we're not going to walk in the woods and, you know, get trapped by a fowler's snare. Okay, but a fowler's snare is a metaphor word for an entrapment. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of us have been wrongfully entrapped? I raised my hand.
Me too.
Just recently, I had something out of nowhere. Wrongful entrapment, just lying a trap, trumped up charges, something that catches you by surprise. The Word of God says that, you know, no weapon forged against us will prevail in Isaiah 54:17.
Amen.
So it doesn't promise that things won't happen or come up. Mm-hmm. It says that they won't prevail. So recently when something came up, I was so surprised. Like, what did I do wrong? I thought I was doing the right thing in this case. But the Word of God says no weapon forged against you will prevail.
Amen.
So things will happen, unfortunately, or may happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't prevail. They will not work. So that's your first encouragement. Though it is forged, it will not work.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 8. Mm-hmm. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked.
Wow.
So God will give you a front row seat without you being involved to see the punishment of the wicked.
Mm.
You know, so maybe the personal people, places, and things that foster this entrapment, you will be able to see, observe only with your eyes, just as an observer,
right.
The punishment of the wicked. Second promise.
Mm.
If we go down to verse 10, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. So let's talk about overtaking. A lot of times in the world, people say, that's devastating. Okay, they got my order at Chick-fil-A. Wrong. That's devastating. Starbucks forgot to add an extra shot. You know, devastation. You know, devastation is something that you can't rebound from. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you can rebound. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
The things that we think are devastation, although they may be really bad and feel really bad, bankruptcy, I've experienced where I had to rebuild credit, you know. And it felt really bad at that time. I thought it was devastation, but it was not. Mm-hmm. Because today I can stand fully rebound from it. So God will, no harm will overtake you. Just think Amen. Of a water, ocean, where if you're overtaking by the ocean, there's no coming back. You're going to drown, right? Okay,
Amen.
So no harm will take you over where you can't come back.
Mercy.
That's the promise of God. It's not Thank saying no harm will ever come your way.
Right.
You know, I wish it was, honestly.
Yeah,
you know, it's not saying that no bad things were, you know, just knock on your door, but it won't overtake you. You won't drown where you can't get up. Okay, so where God's promising that it won't overtake us, he'll be there to rescue us.
Amen.
Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So a lot of people think of this in a very physical sense. You know, I recently, unfortunately, sprained my ankle, you know, and an angel, you know, holding you up so you won't fall, or, you know, a car accident. Thank God for his angels there.
Amen.
Okay. But, oh, protection. Maybe someone, you know, went into a store. Pastor James has a testimony, you know, and God prevented him from being in a robbery. You know, angels of the Lord protecting him. But I also want to add to, you know, if we go into Hebrews 13:2, and you don't have to turn, I'm going to read it. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So sometimes when angels protect us, it's physical, but it's also through advice. Okay, you may meet someone, a counselor, someone at the bank, someone that you're about to invest in a bad deal, and they say, maybe don't do that. Angels of the Lord, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, not just physical. Okay, because a lot of people just think, oh, they're going to protect me. Financial hardships, marrying the wrong person, going to the wrong place, taking the incorrect opportunity. So that's another promise of God.
Wow.
We want to go straight into verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Now, remember, we talked about initially the world has two meanings of love. One is a very passionate feeling, a feeling of deep affection. But the other is a great interest and pleasure in something that says, Lord, I love you. I'm taking interest. I'm reading your word. I'm praying. I'm trying to do the right thing and give. A great interest and pleasure in something. That's the one I want to deal with today. Because he loves me, says the Lord. What a great feeling it must be when God knows you love him. He sees that you're actually making an effort to show him that he loves you. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
My Lord.
So I want to stop right there and talk about, showing God that we love him. My relationship may not be your relationship, and Pastor James' relationship may not be your relationship, but I want to encourage you today to get a relationship with God.
Amen.
One that he knows. He sees that you are trying. He sees that you're not doing the things that you used to do. You may not be perfect, okay? God isn't looking for perfection. And frankly, while we're on earth, we will never attain it.
Amen.
To be quite honest with
Amen.
You. But at least show him, that you're trying.
Amen.
Give him some flowers sometime. Give him some time. Give him, show him that you're trying.
Amen.
And if you do that, I will rescue him. So it doesn't mean that things won't happen to you, because sometimes it's a myth that, as long as I'm a Christian, as long as I have a walk with God, things won't happen. It doesn't say that. It promises he will rescue you.
My Lord.
Okay, so Lord. It's for something to you to be rescued for something may have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's the truth. I hate to say it, but it may. But he will rescue you. Now, I know that there are, they call them, rescue attempts. I've heard that word. And I've heard rescue missions. Okay. And I just want to encourage you that when God rescues you, it's not a rescue attempt, meaning he may or may not be successful. It's a rescue mission of salvation.
Amen.
He will bring you out. So let us
thank
pray
you,
right now. Father, thank you that you are God of
thank
you're
you,
a faithful God, and that you are able to hear us when we
thank
call.
You,
Father, if there's anything that will hinder us from having a good relationship with you, knowing that you love us, knowing
yes.
that we want to take a bold in you, Father, forgive us. Help us to work on our one-on-one relationship with you, Father. We believe that you died for our sins and rose, and we want to dwell in you. We
yes,
want
yes.
to find a home in you, and you in us. Let our ways look different, Father.
Oh.
People know we have a place in you now. And Father, even as mature Christians, let us not get settled.
My
let
Lord.
Us dust off the house sometime, you
My
know,
Lord.
To show that you are still welcome here, Father, and work on ourselves. We thank you for your word.
We
in Jesus'
you,
name, amen.
Amen. Amen.